you continue to pray. I thank you for the invitation to come. I thank your pastor for his personal invitation. We were together in West Tennessee a few weeks ago, and sure appreciate him. I hope you all do. I'd like to bring you a message tonight that I would entitle From Vanavection to Resurrection. I understand that there's no such word as vanavection. So I guess we need to define our terms. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Vanity and vexation. Kind of squeeze those together, rub it around a while, and out comes vanavection. Vanavection. I doubt that I have to define the term resurrection. But it's a lot different to vanavection. The women come to the tomb. It's early in the morning. An angel sitting on that stone in glorious heavenly visage. The brave guards have passed out in fear. The women come slipping up there, sort of. The angel said, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. He is not here, for he is risen. That's resurrection. Y'all did pretty good. But I got to that point one time in the nursing home, and they were cheering and clapping their hands. I say the closer you get, the better resurrection starts. Vanavection. Vanity. Nothingness. Emptiness. Something that's meaningless. Pointless. Futility. Vexation of spirit. That's a troubled soul. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a soul that's not well. Right. We sang his song tonight. The man that was having a sea below sorrow day. Yeah. He had just lost four little girls. That's vanavection. I got a call last Wednesday night, late at night. I was in bed. I could not understand what the man was saying. He was sobbing in such a way that I kept having to ask him to repeat, please say it again. Please say it again. That's vanavection. Lots of things can cause it, but the world's full of it.
Oh, yeah.
The way Solomon described it here, everything under the sun is that. Vanity, emptiness, nothingness, meaninglessness, pointlessness, and trouble. Down to your very bones, in your heart, in your soul. The world's full of it. I've lost track of how many suicide funerals I've preached. Vanavection. The songwriters understand it. They don't have the answer. The Beatles, look at all the lonely people. That's man of action. Billy Joel. They come together on Saturday night to hear him bang that piano and to get drunk again. Sharing a drink they call loneliness, but it's better than drinking alone. That's what that man's problem was last Wednesday night. He was all alone. Otis Redding. I'm going to preach the word eventually. This loneliness won't leave me alone. Isn't that something? This loneliness won't leave me alone. You know where he was sitting? On the dock of the bay. You know the song. Now you can listen to that song and you'll miss the point of the song. Pretty easy. Because all the whistling and the upbeat music and all that. You know this fellow I was talking to last Wednesday night? I talked to him the next morning. We were texting back and forth. I said, how about we meet at lunch hour? When you get off for lunch, I'll meet with you. I couldn't do that. I know I'll cry. And I couldn't go back to work and let him see me where I cried. That's what the whistling... The song is brilliant. He's hiding his loneliness with all the whistling and all the cover-up and all the false face. And there's people in this room tonight that are doing that. Living in a mixed up, messed up, empty world.
Right.
And pretty empty clear to your bones. It's real. It's real. We have a world view in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a strange book. Real hard to get. The way I deal with Ecclesiastes, it's the world's view of the world we're stuck in. And if that's the only view we have, it's bad.
Right.
You're right. That would be bad. We need to some way get from vanaviction to resurrection. And then we can smile. In our thinking, in our worldview, get from vanaviction to resurrection. Let's read. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is nothing. Nothing. Everything is nothing. If there's no such thing as resurrection.
That's right. Amen.
What's the point of election? Predestination.
Amen.
Particular redemption.
Yeah, resurrection.
If there's no such thing as resurrection, even those things are nothing.
Yeah.
Do you get it?
Yes, right.
The best things are nothing.
Right.
If there's not resurrection, and these aren't the best things. The things we cherish so dearly, it all is built around resurrection, the foundation and the fulfillment of all of it. If you don't have that to lean on, everything's nothing. If you do have that to lean on, nothing really matters. Does that make sense? It works both ways. Resurrection is your fix, and resurrection fixes everything. Let's read. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? What's the point of anything? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. The sun also ariseth, the sun goeth down. The wind goeth toward the south, turneth about unto the north. All the rivers run under the sea, yet the sea is not full. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Do you understand that's a worldview?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah,
that's still a worldview.
Amen, bro.
like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel. I guess I've got my mind on hippie songs tonight. But I want to have my mind on the Word. But this is the Word. This is trying to bring the Word into our generation. Well, that was the 60s generation, but that was my generation. Those were my formative years. That everything is really just nothing. Two views, two philosophies. That there's just this meaningless repetition that one day is like the next day, and like the next day, and like the next day, and all this goes on, and what's the point of any of it? And if there is something, these are Far Eastern still things. If you do come back, what do you come back as? I don't know. But you go through it all again, and again, and again, on and on and on. If there is a return and a reincarnation or something mystical like that, then you just go through it all again, don't you? And what's the point of any of it? It's like, do you remember the movie Groundhog Day? Now we're off of the hippies and we're on to Hollywood. The guy just woke up every day and it was Groundhog Day again, and then he relived it. I don't think I've ever watched the whole movie. I've seen bits and pieces of it enough to understand that was maybe the premise of the movie. That he just stuck where he was and there was no getting out of it. Isn't that awful? That's a worldview. And that's this view right here. That everything's just an endless cycle of circles that come and come again, and come again, and come again. When I was about high school age, and my younger brother, 5 years younger, had a dog named Duke. Now, Duke was a big, black, mixed-up dog, and my brother was mixed up, too. I thought. And I can remember sitting there, and you know, I'm the big brother and I'm the smart one. Turned out I think he's the smarter one when I finish this story. He would lay in the floor with Duke, and he'd get right in Duke's face, and he would say, coming, going, no one knows where in the circle. And I'd look over at Dad, and Dad'd look at me, and we'd sort of, and he just kept on and on, coming, going. I think the boy had it. As dumb as he was smarter than me. I had to get about 60 years old before I figured that out. And here he is, a middle school kid, and he understands the emptiness of something. I don't know what was going on in his mind or Duke's either. It seemed pretty meaningless to me, but I think he was saying something. Coming and going, no one knows where in the circle. That's sort of life, isn't it? If this is all there is, that's what life amounts to. Just stuck in a circle. Let me give you another worldview. There's an eternity way back here that we don't know anything about. Except we know a few things that happened. In that whole eternity, we know a few things that happened. Like a covenant of grace.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And like God choosing people and predetermining their destiny.
Right.
And speaking well of those people, blessed be the God and Father who blessed us. That means speak well of.
Yeah.
He spoke well of us before we'd ever been thought about by anybody but Him.
Yeah.
That's an eternity past. And there's an eternity on the other side of this sandwich. Mm-hmm. Way out here in the future. And we don't know much about that one either.
Right.
But what we know, we like, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, right.
And God built this whole eternity. Well, I guess He didn't build it. If it's eternity, it didn't have to be built, did it? I don't know how to tell the story. Nobody built God and nobody built eternity. They've just always been. That's what makes it eternity. And He's always been. That's what makes Him God. One of the things that makes Him God. But anyway, this whatever this eternity past was, and whatever this eternity future is going to be, and sandwiched between two eternities is 6 hours on a cross.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of it all.
Amen.
That's the purpose
Amen.
Of it all.
Amen.
That's the purpose of it all.
Yes, sir.
So that God could come and do 6 hours on the cross
Amen.
Between two eternities. Now that's a worldview.
Amen.
And that's a philosophy.
Amen.
That's built on something bigger than nothingness, right?
Amen.
It's the defining moment of God.
Right.
It's when His love can be seen better than any other thing that He could have possibly done or ever did or ever could do. 6 hours on the cross. between two eternities. That's my worldview.
Amen.
I like that one.
I like that.
That one will get me through. That's something solid. That's not an endless circle. That's something back here that I don't understand, and something out there that I don't understand, but I know there's meaning to it.
Right.
I know there's meaning to it. And I know somebody understands. He's the one that hung the 6 hours. He understands it all.
Amen.
And he's got it waiting for us, that future eternity.
Amen.
Isn't that pretty good to think
Amen.
About? That beats a, ocean that never gets full because the rivers just can't fill it up.
Amen.
That's pretty endless, isn't it?
Amen.
A solid rock. Amen, sister. We got a solid rock, not a bunch of nothingness.
Amen.
I like it.
Amen.
We read on. Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath been already of old time? No remembrance of former things, neither shall be there any remembrance of anything that shall come. Drop down to verse 16. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. The wisest man except Jesus that's ever lived. One of the richest men that's ever walked the face of the earth. 300 wives and 700 other women that he could all claim as his. Great works and feats and doings and things. Entertainment, anything his heart set his mind to, he could have it. That's Solomon. You'd think if I had some of that stuff, I'd have what I was looking for. No way. He looks at all this that he has had and still has, and it all is nothing if it's under the sun. He's looking for something, and he doesn't even know what he's looking for. Isn't that this world?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Simon and Garfunkel. The guy's left, and somewhere along his journey he found a friend, and her name is Kathy. They've been across at least a section of America. They're on the bus, and Kathy's asleep beside him. And they're on the New Jersey Turnpike, and he's looking out. You know where they've been? They've been across America looking for it. Surely America's got it. When I was in the Philippines, I had mothers come to me and beg me to take their children, their daughters, to America. Take my daughter to America. I know you've got it over there. This guy's been across America, according to Paul Simon. And he says, Kathy, I'm lost, I said, but I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, and they've all come to look for America. Looking for something under the sun that'll fill the emptiness in a soul. And it ain't there.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
None.
The songwriters knew it. But they had no answers.
Amen. That's right.
Resurrection's our answer,
right.
My friends.
Right.
It's that simple. It's that simple.
That's right.
But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Go on, brother.
Verse 17. I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Ignorance is bliss. The more you look at this world, the more you know about it. And the more you know about it, the worse you feel about it. And the worse you feel about it, the worse you feel on your insides. And it's just a downward spiral to nothingness. It's a deep, dark abyss, what this world has to give us. Is there nothing good in the world? Oh, I don't know about that. I got a mighty sweet wife at home and some grandkids I love, but in the whole scheme of things, what does that amount to? I've got her for a few minutes. We were high school sweethearts, and we've been together for years married. What is that? What is that? Life is but a vapor. It's like, what is vapor? It's like when you put the pot on the stove and start the water boiling just as hard as you can boil it. And how long does vapor last? About that high. And then where is it? It's gone forever. It's gone forever. That's the worldview. Solomon says in this same book, we're no better than dogs. We all just die. Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
What if that's all you knew? First of all, what if that's all there was? And then what if that's all you knew? No wonder people are killing themselves.
Right.
No hope.
No hope. No hope. That's the problem. If this is all that there is, if in this life only we have hope, if everything that we know and everything in our lives are centered around is just under the sun, then we're most miserable.
Amen.
We are most miserable.
That's it.
Chapter 2. I said in mine heart, go to now. Here we go. I will prove thee with mirth. Here's you happy. We're just going to happy our way through this. That's what we'll do. We'll just have the power of positive thinking. And just force ourselves to have it made in this old world. We'll solve it with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is nothingness, emptiness, vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. That means insane. Isn't it horrible to live in a world where you'd be insane? If you laugh, you're insane. The world is so full of misery, if we really understood it, we'd be insane to ever laugh.
Right.
That's miserable, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
This is low-down stuff. This is really low-down. This will get you down. And that's what it's intended to do, I think.
Yeah, right. That's right.
If we know how it would be, maybe we'll appreciate how it is.
Reckon?
Reckon? I said of laughter, it is mad. Of mirth, what doeth it? What did it change a thing if we laughed a little bit? When the laughing's over, the crying's still there.
There you go.
Ah, but what's the other view? Wait a minute. Let's don't get too caught up in this. We may weep for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
That's a different view, isn't it? That's a different view now.
Amen.
Don't let me get you too far down and keep you there. I just want you to see what it would be without 6 hours on the cross.
Amen.
And a resurrection on the first day of the week.
Oh, Christ.
If it was just this endless circle of nothingness. This goes on and on. I don't know where to stop. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. Here we go. This is the Billy Joel hammering the piano. A bottle of pills. Or a bottle of booze. The escape mechanisms of this world.
Right.
And you wake up tomorrow morning and nothing's changed, but you have a headache. I don't mean to make a mockery. It's sad. It's horrible. It's horrible. But that's the only place people have to go. If that's the only thing they know. We're blessed.
Amen.
We're blessed to have this book. And to see the secrets that God has revealed to us. That'll lift us above this endless circle of nothing. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. Next verse. I made me great works. Built houses. The temple. Solomon built it. Had it built. His palace, it seemed to run circles around the temple, his house. Great works. The works of your hands. Looks like that would have done it, doesn't it? You know what Solomon should have done? Listened to his daddy. And read Psalm 23. Just maybe the first line. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Paul said he'd learn to be content with whatever state he was in. That's somebody that's above walking on the water. You know, we can walk on the water too. Peter proved it for a minute or two. Second or two, step or two. I don't know how far he made it. He got out of the boat anyway, didn't he?
Yeah.
And headed toward Jesus.
That's right.
We can mount up on wings as eagles, soar into the heavens.
Amen.
There's something better.
Yeah, right.
But if we're stuck to this world,
amen.
This is a picture of this world.
Amen.
Works of my hands, I made me great gardens, made pools of water, got me servants and maidens, small cattle, great cattle. I'll just solve it all with this big farm. All these hired hands. I gathered me silver and gold, peculiar treasures. I was great and increased more. Verse 10, Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Van affection. Verse 15. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise man more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is, in the days to come, shall all be forgotten. And how doubt the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life. I hated life. I asked that man when I was talking to him last Wednesday night, I said, if we hang up, are you okay? I said, we're going to talk tomorrow, aren't we? Are you sure? And he promised me we would talk tomorrow, but I wondered if he would answer the text the next morning. He hates life. This man I was talking to has lots of problems. Lots of problems that perhaps I as a Primitive Baptist ought to cast him away if I was listening to hard-nosed culture. Even Primitive Baptist hard-nosed culture. I'm a long ways from home. For the sake of confidentiality, I will not tell you some of his problems. But those folks need help too.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Whatever their sin is.
Amen.
Whatever their sin is. Whether you are Elijah or a sinful man stuck in a sin-cursed world in 2019, God asked Elijah, what in the world is wrong with you? That's not King James. And Elijah said, I am all alone. I am all alone. You know people in your lives that need friends.
Amen.
You might save a man from blowing his brains out if you come at the right time. And don't come in judgment. Come in love.
Amen.
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 Drop your stones. Unless you're the one without sin. And wait on in there. It doesn't stink too bad to get too close to a sinner. You can even hug one of them. The next night, I missed our study session with Paul and some other good brothers in West Tennessee because we couldn't meet at lunch hour with that man that day, but we met on Thursday night last week. And after about 45 minutes of very serious, sad stuff, we just talked for about an hour. We just talked for about an hour. He needed a friend. Society rejects him. Southern culture rejects him. He needed a friend.
Yes, he did.
He's no bigger sinner than this sinner.
Right. Amen.
If we offend in one point, we're guilty of the law of it all.
Amen,
the same blood of Jesus that saves me can save whoever you classify as less than you.
Right.
Those are the ones that need you.
Right. Amen.
Those that have got the bull by the horns, they don't have time for you.
Right.
Find somebody that needs a friend. I don't know where all that came from. I think I'm just troubled right now. I think sometimes I get kind of stuck in this circle, you reckon?
Yeah.
We all do, don't we?
Oh, I am. Oh, yeah.
And then we need to think about resurrection, don't we?
Right.
We certainly need to think about resurrection. Therefore, I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Enough. You may taste some extreme van affection. Hanging on a cross and mocking Jesus. You ever heard anybody did that? I heard of two guys that did that one time.
Yeah.
in Matthew. And then along comes Luke, and one of the guys is still doing that. None of them said, what do you think you're doing, man? Who do you think you're talking to? Why are you saying such things? Something's changed, hadn't it? I don't believe he did that for himself. I really don't. I think Holy Spirit's just come with a miracle called born again.
Amen.
And he's first convicted of his sins. This man's done nothing amiss, and we're here because we deserve this.
Right.
I don't know if I can do anything. I think I deserve the cross. This man's feeling pretty low, isn't he?
Right.
This is a severe case of anovection.
Right.
And all of a sudden, from that same spirit, I think, comes a flicker of hope.
Amen.
He calls him Lord.
Yeah,
my Bible tells me that no man can call him Lord but by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
He calls him Lord and said, Lord, remember me when you get to your kingdom. Look to me like he wasn't going anywhere. That man knew he was going somewhere.
Amen.
He must have known he was a king. He said he had a kingdom. Remember me. And you know what the answer he got? You know the answer. Today. This is a big turnaround, isn't it?
Amen.
Today thou shalt be with me in
paradise.
What cured man of action that day? Resurrection.
Amen.
Resurrection.
Amen.
Down here, hanging on a cross, up there with Jesus in paradise. Jesus called it paradise. Reckon he knew where it was and what it was and what it was all about. He built the place. I reckon he knew what it was. He'd come from there and he was going back and he called it paradise. That'll fix van of action. You want a real van of action? A real bad case of it? You got a bad case of it too. We're not comparing cases here. It's not my point to prove to you somebody had it worse than you. That's the worst thing you can say to somebody that's hurt. Well, so-and-so's got it worse than you. What's wrong with you? I'll tell you what, Job had it worse than I've ever had it. I'll say that much. He may not have it worse than what you've ever had it. How would you like to lose everything and then the last messenger said, I'm the only one that made it? You know those 10 babies? They weren't babies, but they were Job's babies.
Yeah, they were.
They're gone. They're gone. That's a sea billow sorrow day.
Amen.
It sure is. That's van of action, big time. After Satan came back one more time and Job is hurting from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He's in such agony, he takes a sharp broken piece of pottery and he's digging his flesh off of his bones. You ever hurt that bad? Maybe you have. Job did. He said, I would not live all the way. You know what else Job said? He said, a tree's better off than me. You take a stump of a tree and you put water on it, it might sprout again. I'm not going to ever sprout again. I've got no hope. That's van of action.
Yeah.
You know what cured his troubles? I know my Redeemer lived.
Yeah.
The last day, he's going to stand on this earth. And I'm going to see him with my eyes and not somebody else's. It's going to be me.
Amen.
The same one that goes down is the one that comes up. The it that gets planted is the it that comes up in 1 Corinthians 15.
Amen.
Job went down and Job's getting up and he's going to see his Redeemer.
Amen.
That'll fix it, won't it? Resurrection fixes everything.
Right.
You want to know extreme van of action? The most severe case that's ever been on the face of the earth. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
That's right, brother.
Amen.
That's real.
That's right.
That's not a man pretending. That's not a God pretending to be man.
That's right.
That's a man without God.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Your God's promised you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
There you go.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a deep, dark, lonely.
Amen.
We'll never experience that. You're right. And he did.
That's right.
Ever what you've got, I will compare you to this one. He's had it worse. And the point of comparing you to Jesus is that he knows how you feel.
Amen. Yes.
And he's touched with your feelings. Your feelings go straight into heaven and touch his heart.
Right.
And he's touched by them. And when his heart's touched, I got a feeling he's going to touch back. Right?
Amen.
Some way or another, he's going to touch back. That's why we're here.
That's right.
But there's still something waiting. You know what? You want to know what a van of action is? It's those two women sitting by the sepulcher at the close of Matthew chapter 27. You know what fixed van of action? Resurrection. 3 days later. They was cured, weren't they?
That's right.
Their hopes were dashed, but their hopes were the wrong thing.
Right.
Resurrection fixed everything.
Amen.
You know what? He was the first, and you're coming.
Amen.
He's going to come back someday, and he's going to shout. Right. And vanification is going to be gone forever.
Amen.
And resurrection is forever.
Right.
And ain't God good?
Amen.